Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 44 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me, of course, to my right is Estelle Vasudevan. You can find her on Twitter as well at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one. And of course, to my left, we've got Jared Kimber, as always, who you can find literally everywhere. If you're new to Crick Picks, what we do in this podcast is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five for that category in a snake-style draft competition. What that means is that we basically have a pick order of 1-2-3, 3-2-1. And sometimes we build teams, you know, we combine to build teams on this podcast. We've been doing it a lot recently. And the last one, I don't know if you caught the last Crick Picks, but we basically built a team which could beat India in a test series in India from 2013 to present day. And that...
Except that it could definitely not beat India.
It probably would lose over there. But that kind of gave me another idea that we should do this for other dominant teams of their era, at home. And Australia were unbeaten from like 93, 94 to the end of 2008 at home. So today, in this particular episode, we are going to build a team which can defeat Australia and Australia in that specified period, 94 to 08. And Jared Kimber has picked number one. So let's go.
Kirtley Ambrose.
Yeah, I had him.
No.
He's averaging less than 20.
Everyone had him in number one, right?
Yeah. He's so good over there. 14 test matches, 78 wickets. At less than 20 apiece. His strike rate is also 48. And Jared, he's got that spell right in this period in Australia, no?
Yeah.
Is it in this period or did that spell come earlier?
This one, right?
No. I think it was after 93. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Actually, I can't remember if it's in this period. Either way, he was brilliant all the way through. He was just an absolute force. He was made for Australian wickets, probably more than he even was for West Indian wickets. The Australians didn't know how to face him. You know the Dean Jones story, don't you?
I do know the Dean Jones story. Yes.
Yeah, where he's going to be bowling, and he's got white wristbands on, and Dean Jones is like, "Oh, you can't bowl with those; they'll clash with the ball." Which is, Dean Jones was 100% correct in what he did, and no Australian batter wanted to hear that, and they were all terrified and wished that he'd never spoken in Kirtley Ambrose's general era. So, I don't even, like, second is such a distance behind Kirtley Ambrose for me. Honestly.
And never, ever tell him to take off his wristband, for one. That's something people should
I personally never have. He's a lovely person. Have you guys ever worked with him? He's a lovely guy in real life. He's just kind of fun. And
he looks really warm. So, yeah.
I really enjoyed working with him a couple of times that I have. I think he's a better bowler than he was a musician as well. I'm just going to go out there.
And, 78 wickets in 14 test matches is unreal, right? Like, the average is below 20, but it doesn't even matter because that many wickets in 14 test matches is just flat out ridiculous. I mean, at that rate, he would have hit 100 wickets before he played his 20th test in Australia, right? Which is insane. But anyway, I have pick number two, and honestly, there are more players or a lot of players who probably get in before this one, but Estelle prior to this podcast mentioned to me that she does have a Pakistani in her list, so I just want to take that Pakistani off her list, and I'm going to go Waseem Akram. He has 36 wickets in 9 test matches in Australia at 24 apiece, and also he could be an extremely handy number 8 because he scored 419 runs with the bat at an average of 26, and he's got a ton in Adelaide, I believe. You've got Kirtley Ambrose and Waseem Akram with the ball. I think we're off to a solid start.
So Kirtley Ambrose, Waseem Akram was the first test cricketer I ever saw bowl. So I went to see Australia-Pakistan in my first test match, and I was watching, and Waseem Akram took the first ball. I think that's right anyway. He's certainly the first one I remember watching anyway. But what I remember is just watching him bowl and how much quicker he was than the Australian bowlers. It's such a weird thing to think back on, but Australian bowlers weren't particularly quick at that point. Craig McDermott was out injured again, and McDermott was quick, but I don't think he was ever as quick as Waseem Akram anyway. So, he's a brilliant bowler in Australia. I was shocked he didn't play as many test matches in Australia in that period as I thought he would have. So I think they played just before, the series I'm talking about must be 1991 or 91-92 around that period. I'm assuming there was a couple more test matches in there as well, but no, he was a fantastic bowler, and he was a swing bowler, and we don't think about Australia as a swing bowling country anymore because Glenn McGrath kind of and Kilty Ambrose kind of eradicated that kind of bowling in Australia. But traditionally in Australia, those are the kind of bowlers who did best was swing bowlers. It's just not something that we see all that much in Australian bowling anymore.
Yeah, and you know, you've got some depth with the bat as well. You've got a left arm angle in there. Yeah. And he's got, you know, a link with Australia too now because his wife is from there. So he'll do just fine.
He's basically from Melbourne. I don't even know why Pakistan claimed him. Yeah.
All right, Estelle, two picks upcoming for you.
Okay.
Michael Clarke.
I can't pick Michael Clarke.
Oh, okay.
You actually... Oh, yeah.
No, she says, can I? Which four I can't?
Yeah.
I don't think I can mess this up. I don't think so. Hmm. So I go with Brian Lara.
Okay.
Great record in Australia, particularly during that period. He has, let me see.
I mean, he's got like
1993 to 2005. Yeah, 2,200 runs.
In Sydney, was it?
270. Hmm. 277, averaging 51, 400s. Yeah, he's Brian Lara, right?
So double century in Sydney was terrible because, and then there's that whole joke because he names his daughter Sydney. And of course, the running joke in Australian cricket ever since has been lucky to make the runs in Lahore. So in some ways, it would be nice if Brian Lara wasn't on this list. No, a fantastic player in Australia. I think McGrath eventually worked him out, but it took him a long time to work him out. And by that point, you know, that was the thing with Lara. A lot of it was about motivation. And I think he was far more motivated to better against Australia than he was against anywhere else because they were the team that pushed him the most.
Yeah. Well, what were the numbers again, Sten?
Yeah, so during that period, 93 onwards, he has 1,278 runs at an average of 51, 400s, wow, including that double.
Holy shit. I mean, of course, he was on my team as well, but it's a good first pick for you. Let's see where you go with the next one.
Yeah, this one is going to win me this quick picks episode, right?
Yes, it will.
Sachin.
Of course it will.
I thought Mark Butcher is what I thought she was going to say.
It will, definitely. You've got both Lara and Sachin. Yeah, you're winning this.
Yeah, and Sachin's record is actually a tiny bit better than Lara's. He's also got 400s, including a double century. 1,154 runs at 64. Yeah, so, I mean, those are probably the two easiest picks after Ambrose for me.
You know, in these teams drafts, it's easier or it's much better to get picks number 3 and 4. I recognized this little thing in the previous one, the India one, that it's actually a pretty good position to be in. And you ended up with Sachin, who was going to be my obvious first pick. But then I was like, I can't let her take Wasim because that's obviously like, it has to be the Pakistani that's on her list. So I'm going to nick it off her. But if you look at Sachin's overall...
Could be Mushtaq Ahmed.
Yeah.
You don't know who I had. But, you know, even if you go outside the period, Sachin's overall record in Australia is phenomenal. He's played 20 test matches there. He's got 1,809 runs. There are cricketers in the world or batters who don't have 1,809 runs in total. And he's done that averaging 53.2 with 6 tons and a highest of 241 not out. So, I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised he's gone this late. And maybe you could even have gone Sachin before Lara.
Because you picked
Wasim. I had to. And it's me again, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you sturdy opposition, Estelle, because my next pick is going to be Virender Sehwag as the opener. Yeah. And he's also someone who kind of picks himself. He's got 1,031 runs in Australia. He's averaging 46.86. And he's got 200s, including a best of 195. And you know, that Australian team used to kind of exert a lot of pressure on opposition teams. So I want someone up top who could do the exact same thing to Australia. And Virender Sehwag is an ideal candidate to do just that, which is why I think he's also a very fair, straightforward pick, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the innings in the MCG was incredible. He's got a really good record in Australia. And I think if you look at, I was looking this up recently, a lot of attacking openers are very good in Australia. I think the West Indies, India, there's a few different places. And then the minute the ball starts moving sideways, a lot of those guys struggle. I think Gordon Greenidge is one of the few that has a really solid record. But the ball comes on in Australia, right? Mm-hmm. Comes onto the bat and you can play your shots and you can trust it. And you're also going to get maximum runs. Like, you know, though, especially in that period when outfields weren't particularly that good in the rest of the world. True. If you hit a ball at Australia, it was probably going for a four, except for some of the bad MCG wickets pitches at the time. But okay, No, that's quite interesting. I'm not trying to work out where we go here. So we've got an opener. We've got probably 3 and 4.
Yep.
We've got Wasim Akram and we've got Curtly Ambrose. I'm wondering if we have an all-rounder. Maybe that all-rounder comes later.
One all-rounder that we missed in the last one, which could potentially that player could make it to this team.
He's an interesting one, actually. He's an interesting one. He might come up later when we bring him up. And my memory of him specifically was he wasn't particularly good in Australia when Australia were good.
Hmm.
And when they get a little bit, when they got a little bit more average, he started to do well. But you look at his numbers in that period, and they still hold up pretty well. But I suppose it depends on when you cut it off, because I wonder how many of those runs came. So he only made two. Anyway, I'm not picking.
Also, whoever it doesn't matter. Whoever didn't watch the last Crick Picks would not even know what we're talking about right now.
I don't even know what we're talking about right now. There's no like wicket keepers, is there?
Yeah,
it's an interesting period for wicket keepers. I suppose that has to be
the end again.
Yeah,
unless we just go Kumar.
I'm not opposed to that. You know, I really want him in this team.
You might have to. He was actually wicket keeping in that era, and he played one of the best innings of all time. Yeah. God, this is shit. So,
but
then
his record during that period isn't great, is it?
Yeah, Hobart.
It is in Australia.
Hobart came later, no? But he's got 550s apart from that ton.
Yeah, he played three games, made 100 and 350s in that period.
Okay.
So he averaged 65 in three games.
Hmm.
I don't know if that counts Hobart or not. I
think
I can't remember the date.
It does count Hobart, actually. Yeah. So it did come in that period. Okay, so do it.
We got Flintoff as well. Oh, Flintoff. I don't reckon he ever made any runs in Australia. I can't win because you guys really got other players. So I am going to go Chris Cairns.
Okay. Interesting.
I think Chris Cairns was a very well-suited player in Australian conditions. Weirdly enough, because even though he was a bit of a swing bowler, he was quite strong and he hit the deck quite hard. And I think we need an all-rounder in this side. And I think that gives us, if we Cairns and with Akram. Yeah, so I'm going to go Chris Cairns ahead of Flintoff.
I think that makes sense.
And then
Flintoff was dog shit in Australia.
I think he bowled okay in Australia, but I don't remember him ever making any runs in Australia. Hmm. And then behind, so I'm going specialists.
Okay.
Right? So I'm going Cairns and I'm going VVS Laxman.
Okay.
Very interesting. I had him as well, yeah.
So VVS Laxman makes over 1,000 runs in Australia. And in that era, and averaged more than 50 against him. And I know he's remembered more for making the Kolkata score. But people have forgotten that he actually batted really well in Australia as well. So, and a bit like Lara, I think he's very similar in that he needed motivation. And playing against Australia clearly took him to another level. And when he was at that level, he was, you know, absolutely brilliant. So I'm going to go. So my list is all over the place. I got Ambrose, Cairns, and Laxman. But that also gives us a number 6 and a number 7.
That's true. Yeah, so the batting looks quite good. I'm just going to end it because I have an opener in mind and I know neither of you probably have him on the list. And it is a bit of a rogue pick, but the numbers really more than hold up, you know, in Australia. And if you think of that era, you know, there are a couple of openers who might, on reputation, sound a lot better than the guy I'm about to pick. But let's go Christopher Henry Gayle.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, his numbers are super good. Like, you know, 449 runs in 5 test matches. He's got 2 tons, including a best of 165 not out. He's averaging nearly 50, right? 49.88 with the bat. And you pair him up with Sehwag, and that is an explosive opening pair, right? So I've got no issues with that at all. And I was just afraid.
I thought you were going Michael Vaughan.
No. I was afraid that you guys will pick another opener and I won't get to pick Gayle, which is why I've literally gone Gayle right now. That was the rationale.
He didn't make that many runs, like as in that period. Like, I don't think he played a lot of games, did he? But if you look at his overall record in Australia, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he really... He's someone, again, as I was talking about before, of one of those players that in when the circumstances were right, I think he was a fantastic opening batter. I've got no issues with that. I think that's a good decision.
What's the batting lineup looking like right now?
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
We have Sehwag, Gale, Lara, Tendulkar, and then either Laxman at 5 or Laxman at 6, Cairns at 7.
Mm, not bad. All right, Estelle.
Okay, so we need a keeper, right?
Yes. Please do the deed.
And we need another bowler? Yes.
We have no spinner at all. And we have no wicketkeeper. So, yeah, we need probably two more bowlers, one wicketkeeper, and then obviously we can we haven't put Callis in yet. Yeah. We can put Callis in at number 5.
Potentially. Mm-hmm.
Then.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I'll go with another quick, actually.
Okay.
I'll go with Dale Steyn.
Ooh, that's an interesting one, because I had Donald ahead of Steyn in my perfect team.
I mean, it's Dale Steyn, right? And he was really good, I thought, during those last few years of Australian dominance. There were some really interesting series between Australia and South Africa in that period.
He didn't play much in Australia, though, did he, when they were good?
Mm.
Where Donald went up against the best team. Mm. That's the only thing. Yeah. I thought about Steyn as well, and that was the only thing. I thought he was brilliant when he did play, but it was very rarely, you know.
Yeah, so he's only played 2 games, and that's in 2008, 14 wickets. Yeah.
Okay. So he's right at the end.
Whereas Donald plays 7 games.
Donald has 7 games, 29 wickets.
Hmm. And he's averaging slightly better than Steyn. Like, I think Steyn is 28.7 something, and Donald is 28.44. But it's like,
I you're looking at pure talent. I don't have the problem with it, because I do think he was a slightly bowler. But I think that if you're looking more specialists in Australia, I think Ian Bishop and Darren Goff are more interesting.
Yeah, I had Bishop as well, like in my long list. But
Goffy takes an awful lot of wickets in Australia, and because of only because Steyn doesn't play against peak Australia in Australia. I think if I was going to go, I would probably pick my shorter bowler would have been Goff rather than Steyn, even though obviously Steyn's the better bowler. But just in that period, I think that would have been fair. But yeah, no one's going to have a go at you for picking Dale Steyn on any list,
it's,
right?
It's like, are you sure though?
It's like a Matt Prior pick, right, from the previous episode, because you barely get any of him, right, in that era.
Yes.
That's the only caveat. Which is why I had Donald. But I mean, if you like Jared said, if you're looking at pure talent, he probably beats Donald. So
I think he's slightly better than Donald, yeah. Mm. I mean, and I thought Donald was great as well. I don't want any Alan Donald hate out here. but I would have picked Bishop.
I thought about Bishop as well, I think he could have gone either way.
So the one thing I would say about our attack at the moment is Wasim Akram and Dale Steyn are both shortish. I mean, I know Wasim Akram's not short, but he was a skinnier bowler. Mm. So if you had Bishop in that lineup ahead, you then have the swing bowler and then you have the two tall bowlers back-to-back. But yeah, as I said, it's Dale Steyn. It's fine. He'll work out how to be good.
All right.
Okay. I have one more pick, right? Who do we need? We have keeper. 9 people.
We need a wicketkeeper.
We need a wicketkeeper. And we need, I mean, the 12th is going to be picked by one of you.
Uh-huh.
And
well, 12th is going to be picked by Jared. Jared is 12th man in this one.
Yeah,
so we've got, do we have any batting slots open?
Just the keeper one.
We do. Well, we've got Sehwag, Gale, Lara, Tendulkar, Laxman, and Cairns. So we've got 6
only the keeper
and bat.
Only the keeper. So I'm not picking the keeper.
Ooh.
Are you going to pick the spinner?
Is she?
I actually, in my team.
Those are the options. Mm-hmm. If you don't pick the keeper, you have the spinner.
Is she going to pick Callis over here? She could totally do that.
No, I'm not picking Callis. But in my team, actually, I had 4 pacers and not, I didn't have a spinner. I had my spinner as 12.
Okay. If you go up against Australia in Australia with no spinner.
Mm-hmm.
Are they not just going to make sure that Adelaide MCG Gabba is a little bit dustier than normal? And
I didn't think about that.
And then you got McGill as well, right, for certain periods.
We do have 4 seamers already, though, still. Kens can bowl a lot dog overs, right? So, and he's probably going to start in this team because we'll need an all-rounder.
I'm going to have to pick the keeper then, no?
I want you to pick the keeper.
I'm not picking the spinner. Let me pick the spinner. It'll be a popular pick in the comments, I'm sure. I'll go with Kumble.
Man, I would have gone with the thing that Jared suggested, or the guy that Jared suggested earlier, because he has a phenomenal record. It's
who
okay.
Is that? Okay.
Mushak Ahmed.
He has 49 wickets in 10 games, right? So, mm-hmm.
He did.
Calls.
I don't think he was terrible. I mean, Mushak Ahmed, I just think, was better suited to Australia. Also, Mushak Ahmed is a wrongen bowler, and Australians don't pick wrongens as well as I think other cricket cultures do. You've also got Saqlain Mushtaq, who I think is a fascinating one as well, because he played very well. And then Murali is the other option, right?
Yeah, like, but we didn't do much.
Well, he only played a couple of games, right? And he was I was at the game where he got called for chucking. I can't imagine that helped. He knew the whole crowd was calling no ball every time he bowled. I can't imagine he was the best of his game at that point.
The most successful Sri Lankan spinner is Upul Chandana in Australia, I think.
If you had the numbers, that would have been absolute genius. Okay, Kumble. I think that's wrong.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go and fix that because you're not going to have two.
Don't pick another spinner.
You're not going to have two spinners in the lineup, right?
You don't have a wicketkeeper.
Well, okay, fine.
Don't do this.
I'll do it. I'll do the thing that I've been wanting someone else to do, and I'll pick Sangha. He's the keeper. His batting numbers are really good over here, dude. Like, he scored 543 runs in 5 test matches in Australia. He's got that 192 in Hobart. And besides that, he's got 550s as well. So
but does that fall within that period?
We checked. It does, doesn't it?
I think.
He makes runs in that period.
Yeah, and he's averaging 60 overall. And you know what? He was keeping in that era when Australia were dominant. So, I just, like, the other options aren't as good, which is why I was hoping that one of you would pick.
Who's second and third?
Second and third, eh?
Parure.
AB de Villiers keeps in that era, no?
I don't think he does, mate. Oh, I might, I suppose. I thought he was a little bit later. So I remember AB de Villiers keeping in 13-14 against Australia. But I think his wicketkeeping is a little bit more mixed up. So you might be right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone. I mean, the problem is that is a crossover period, right? There aren't that many wicketkeepers who make any runs.
Alex Stewart was another option, but what's his record?
Actually, there's a better option.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
It's too late now, but who was the better option?
Okay. Andy Flower.
He never played though in Australia, right?
That's not his fault. Like, he actually played Sheffield Shield cricket in Australia. Oh. I don't think he played. I'm not sure if he did play.
Was that one of Behram's rules that they needed to have? Was it?
Or no, they just needed to play? It wasn't my rule, just in the era.
Because we picked Pakistanis, right? For the
No, no. Yeah. They have played a test match in the specified era.
So Sangakkara has wicket kept in Australia in that period.
Great.
Right. So one of his games was, weirdly enough, it was a game he didn't make any runs. So you got, just go through the book, the idea, because I think this is really quite interesting. You've got Alex Stewart, who does okay. Adam Parure averaged 54 in Australia.
Whoa.
In 6 games. They hated him so much, by the way. The Australians would moan the entire time he was batting. You'd hear it from the stump mic. Mark Boucher averaged 22, Ridley Jacobs 32, Kalu Witharana 27, Junior Murray 3. Like, so McCullum.
Oh.
We
could have gone McCullum.
Moeen Carr. Dhoni keeps in Australia as well in that period, right towards the end of it. Yeah, I think Andy Flower was probably the best choice, but I've got no problem with Sangakkara. I miswent with Sangakkara before as well. There's like 83 English wicketkeepers here. It is like forget the amount of time. There's just like they must have used like multiple, like it's Geraint Jones and Chris Reid, Warren Hegg, right? James Foster. It's just like you're just making up names at a certain point here. Okay, so you've got Kumar Sangakkara. Well, let's just make it easy and go Jaafar Callison as the 12th man, who's probably I just went with VVS over him because I thought VVS. So I was at one of the best innings I've ever seen was Callison Australia at the MCG, where Warne was just ragging the ball sideways consistently the whole game. And in the fifth innings, Callis blocked out a draw. he must have played and missed. Like, it was like Ben Stokes versus Nathan Lyon. He must have played and missed like 83 times. It just never bothered him. He just kept going, okay, well, I'm just going to play inside the line. And you know, Bob Woolmer had programmed his robot to be like, doesn't matter if you play and miss, just make sure if anything's on the stumps, you can't go out to it. I don't know if his bowling was any good in Australia, though. Did anyone look that up?
This is brought to you by Cricket 8, the new home of cricket intelligence.
No, I...
Callis in Australia, oh, yeah, average 42. So his bowling's not a massive plus.
He could have...
But I still think he gets in.
He could bowl the dog overs for us. And he's got enough runs there, right? I get the fact that, you know...
You could pick him ahead of Cairns, right? Like, yeah. I picked Cairns because I thought Cairns batted... I thought Cairns played some really important innings in Australia. Also, I like the idea of having an attacking player to go back at Australia. Cairns is just a... I think Cairns is a better bowler than Callis because he cared about his bowling more. But I specifically think he was a better bowler than Callis in Australia, right? So even if his overall record, Cairns, is not as great with bowling, I'd definitely pick... If I was picking one guy to come on at second change in Australia, I would probably prefer to have Cairns' bowling than I would Callis's. And that probably isn't the case in South Africa, right? But Cairns ends up with a bowling average of under 30.
And if this game or whatever, this series, imaginary series that we're playing, has a test match at both the Gabba and the Wacker, then I would always take Cairns over Callis, right? Because I would want his bowling over there. But Callis's runs are still impressive. Sure, he didn't score them versus the best Australian teams, but he's got 1254 runs in 15 tests in Australia. He's averaging 48. He's got 3 tons. And he can bowl the dog overs with the ball. So I'm happy with that 12th man pick. I'm just really, really miffed about Mushtaq Ahmed not getting picked over here.
It's a weird one though, because he only plays 3 games, Mushtaq Ahmed. Yeah. I think he's the obvious one. What's Vittori's record? Does he take any wickets over there?
He has a decent record as well, right? Does he? 11 games, 35 wickets, but averaging 39. So
I almost think if you're going to pick between Kumble and Vittori, you pick Vittori because of the batting.
True.
Because I mean, that's one thing against Australia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but think about it. If you can really stack this side then at that point so that you could have Wasim at 10. No, at 9 probably, wouldn't you? Oh, no, you could. If you really wanted to, you could really stack it and you can move everyone down a spot. And you could drop one of Steyn or, you wouldn't drop Andros, but you drop one of Steyn, or Kumble, and then you've got batting all the way down. You do have to rely a lot more on Chris Cairns' bowling at that point. But the point being is Vittori is a step up even on, and not that Kumble is a terrible batter, but he's a step up again on that batting.
I would love to know what Kumble's record is in Sydney, because Sydney is the place where spinners generally tend to excel, right? Like Mushtaq, for instance, has 22 wickets in 4 test matches in Australia. His average is 33.5, but he's got 9 wickets in Sydney. And I reckon that both of his fifers came there, if I'm not wrong.
Well, I'm not sure, because I reckon he took a 10-wicket haul in Hobart.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, which is, again, one of the reasons I would want Mushtaq over anyone else.
Plus, you always speak of overspin, right? And he had overspin.
Yeah, I just think, exactly. I don't think there's another spinner who's come to Australia who's like had the kind of impact that he had. I thought he was a really, really good bowler. And I can't remember if it was what test match that was. But I remember Shane Warne trying to hit him out of the attack. Like Shane Warne was, I wouldn't say shaken by him, but Shane Warne was a little bit like, this guy's got some game. They didn't pick him particularly well. But yeah, look, honestly, it's only from a couple of games with Mushi anyway. Yeah. So
there's more of a sample size with Kumble, and there's experience. So it's not the worst pick.
Kumble has 5 wickets in Australia, right? Like, and Vittori 35 wickets in Australia. Yeah. You know, they knew what they were doing. And I suppose if you look at our lineup, if you've got Cairns and you've potentially got Callis and you've got Ambrose, Steyn and Akram, having a stock bowler is maybe not the worst way to go about it. So perhaps what you do is you drop Steyn, you bring Callis in. And then you've got Callis and Cairns when it's moving around. And then you've got Akram and Ambrose to attack with Kumble to bowl your defensive overs. Yeah. Or Vittori if we'd gone that way. So it's not the end of the world. But again, like we said with the other side, I'm not sure this is beating Australia, is it?
Yeah.
Is this beating Peak Australia?
Not sure, because Peak Australia...
This one's closer than maybe it is. The last one, maybe I think. It is. Yeah.
It might actually, because
the batting is really good, right?
Yeah.
The problem here is once Australia make the wicket spin.
Mm-hmm.
That is a problem.
If they, because they can bring McGill in as their second spinner, and then you are in a bit of trouble. The batting's fantastic. I don't have really many issues with the batting at all. And as I said before, you can bat this. You can bat this so deep, like Akram could come in so far down the order if you wanted him to, or Kumble, who also could bat, right? You could have either of them way down the order. But yeah, I think this follows on what we were saying the other day, Bayram, whereas I think it's much easier, as great as Australia were, and they're probably more dominant than India have been home and away. I actually think it's easier to come up with a side that beats Australia than it is to come up with a side that beats India. And of course, it'd be really, The other fascinating one is what you do with the West Indies and how you go about it.
Will be our next episode, by the way. In terms of honorable mentions, I think KP needs to get spoken of over here. Like, he was very close to making my team, right? He had 11 44 runs in Australia in 15 test matches. He's averaging 45. He had that 227, right? And another ton as well. So he just misses out. And in my perfect team, I had Donald and Mushtaq, but the rest was very similar, right?
Okay. We talked about Ian Bishop before. I think Rahul Dravid makes a lot of runs in Australia in that period.
Lara is there, right? So that's why Dravid isn't.
That's the thing, right? You can't go past Lara and Tendulkar in that 3-4 spot.
Yep.
Vaughan has one series, so it depends on kind of how much you want to, you know, be excited about that one series. My memory is, I'm just looking it up now. Yeah, Ramps has a ridiculously good record in Australia. Everything about Ramps' record is absolutely stupid and backwards from that point of view. And just because Gale, not everyone will understand the whole Gale thing. There isn't really another opener, is there, from my memory? Mm. I think Kirsten was okay over there. I don't think there's another opener. Arthur's never made any runs, and I don't think Smith made any runs.
Gale's our second spinner with the surface is turning, by the way.
Yeah.
And Sachin.
Sachin, yeah. Sehwag.
And Sehwag. Okay, we're not that bad, Jared. You've underestimated this team in Sydney.
could we have gone Cook?
He doesn't qualify, does he?
He does qualify. He did play against this team. He plays in 2006, 2007. He just was shit.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
He does qualify. But no, I would rather have Sehwag Gale.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting one because you got with Sehwag Gale and Cairns and Akram, you've got a couple of and Lara, you've got a couple of guys who can really go, right? Mm-hmm. Like if they have to.
And I mean, Sangha's in this team as well. So it's literally stacked when the batting is concerned.
Yeah. So I went Ambrose, Chris Cairns, VVS Laxman, Dark Skellis. Bayram went Wasim Akram, Virendra Sehwag, Chris Gayle, Kumar Sangakkara, and Estelle went Brian Lara, Sachin Tendulkar, Dale Steyn, Anil Kumble. I know this is a longer period, but it does feel like better names than we could come up with than the other one, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's fair to say. So our team is Virendra Sehwag, Chris Gayle, Brian Lara, Sachin Tendulkar, VVS Laxman, Kumar Sangakkara, Chris Cairns, Anil Kumble, Wasim Akram. Probably got those backwards. Dale Steyn, Kirtley Ambrose, and Jacques Callis obviously would probably be in the 11, but the way that we set it up originally, he was not.
Hmm. So let us know who we missed and who you would have had in the team, why picking Mushtaq Ahmed was a big mistake, or not picking him was a big mistake, and who you think won this particular draft, because I think we're all quite good in this one, right? Everyone has good names. Estelle has Lara and Tendulkar, so she's probably going to win it.
I'm not going to win with Chris Cairns, am I? Jesus.
That's also like, it's not even like, it's just a tone deaf pick in 2024. Jared.
That's what I mean. Like, in so many ways, I'm not going to win with Chris Cairns, which is a shame because we have forgotten what a fantastic cricketer he was.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are reasons.
I like the six hitting prowess that he's providing this team with, right, in the lower middle order. But of course, you know, let us know who you think we missed. Mention that in the comment section. Tell us who won. And we'll be back with another episode of Crick Picks next week. And of course, that'll be the West Indies one because we've done India-Australia, so West Indies remains. Just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. We'll see you next week on another Quick Picks, and let's see what we come up with as a team which can defeat the West Indies in their dominant era. That's all for now, though. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.